The world leader in Internet Talk Radio. Internet Talk Radio. You're listening to America's Voice, VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
Hey, I have to tell you, there's something just very exciting about being on talk radio. You can have your script and you can have your ideas and you can think what might happen, but the fun of life is that it's very present and very creative and always unusual, and getting everybody in the same time zone so they can be on the air with you. It's an exciting adventure, and the people that we're lining up are just incredible people. Do we have Jane?
Yes, here I am.
All right. So Jean Houston is one of the incredible people we were lining up, and we also have Beatrice Trump-Hunter today, who's food editor, Consumer Research Magazine, and she's actually been at it for quite a long time. What we want to do is let you know that you're listening to a radio magazine for intelligent and engaging conversations about topical subjects in the world today. So reach over and take a child's hand and tell them you're learning to create a wonderful new future and that we need their wisdom and help to create that new world. Tell them we can learn from our mistakes and grow strong. So come be a fly on the wall with us and listen to the most intriguing conversations in radio, and you can get it only here on Waking Up in America. Our experts in this premier radio magazine are Cherie Ross, who incorporates essential oils into your daily life, Maureen O'Crean, who will keep you informed of diva do's and don'ts in a colorful and delightful way. Lisa's all about families, all kinds of families, and being responsible in our lives. Our newest editor, Debbie Ringchop, will give you new ways of igniting a financial future for yourself and your family. And George Rucheski will show you where leadership fits into your life. It's a conversation for everyone. I interview the best of the best, from science to peace to politics to health and the arts. I'm Dr. Valerie Ann Kirkgaard. I'm a mom. I played polo, I firewalked, and I piloted planes, and I've carried the Olympic torch, and I never stop carrying that torch. Join with our editors and guests and enjoy a life of, we like to live a life of passion and value. Our guests say that they feel honored and loved by our radio team, and Bob Sercosta of the Home Shopping Network says we are doing radio which will change the world. So join us in making that true. If you hear a dog barking, a telephone ringing, an angel singing, or the wail of a fire engine, or a child laughing, know that we call in from our homes and offices all over this nation, and sometimes different parts of the world, to make this program happen, and sometimes we have to do it with mobile phones. So it can be very alive and very present here. Call your friends and invite them to listen, because we're on computers all over the world. Visit us at wakingupinamerica.com to find out the times in your cities, in your area. And also, while you're there, please sign up to be a listener or use that same form to send us comments and questions about our show. Keep a paper and pen handy, as there will be names, numbers, and ideas that you will most definitely want to jot down. The first one that you actually want to jot down when you go to Waking Up in America is jeanhouston.org, and that's JeanHouston.org. And if you have a question that you want to ask of Jean or Harriet while we're on the show, you can simply email me at val@wakingupinamerica.com. Well, Jean Houston, we're here to continue the conversation about your mystery school that's actually happening the 11th to the 13th of November in Cathedral City, California. And what would you like to tell our listeners?
Well, that's a preview. That's a preview mystery school. The actual mystery school is next year in four sessions and then a week-long session. But they
how often
can get
you
that
do it. You do them every other year? How does that work?
Oh, no. I've done it for 23 years.
Oh, wow.
And until recently it was 9 weekends a year, and now it is 4. But the preview, which is coming up on the 11th to the 13th down in Cathedral City next to Palm Springs,
so
is Hogwarts for adults.
I was going to just say, you just got... Because I was going to say, if I was an adult, what would I be looking for in your mystery school?
Well, I think what we're doing is taking a look at the very great Harry Potter books, which really gave us a sense that we are magical beings, you know, that we have phenomenal treasures and capacities within ourselves. And so I'm going to really run it as a kind of Hogwarts Academy, the magic that we that contains within us, the magic to tap into the extraordinary treasures of our minds, our ability to think in so many different ways. You know, so many of us live lives, posthumous existences, because we use just a fraction of what we are. But we can think in images, we can think in words, we can tap into the immense creativity that lies beneath the surface crust of consciousness, not just for entertainment, but for creativity, for making a difference. It's the whole need to make the difference in the so-called muggle world, you know, to begin to turn the page so our lives are not like Jane Austen. You turn the page and nothing happens. You turn the page and still nothing happens, you know. But to really begin to get into that whole sense that our lives are aligned to the great story of our time, that we're living in a time that other people thought their time was it. This is wrong. This is it. What we do will profoundly make a difference into whether we grow or die. You know, I used to walk with an old man who I called Mr. Teilhard. This is when I was 14. He turned out to be Teilhard de Chardin. And he was talking about how we are present and participating in the creation of a global mind field, that the planet is becoming self-conscious in all its part through ourselves, that we're being pulsed into a new order of awakening for both the Earth and the cosmos. And I remember a time when Mr. Teilhard lifted his hands with his long fingers and he said, "Ah, we are in," he was French, "the noosphere." And he was sweeping the sky. He told me that the Earth had grown itself a new skin that had circled the planet. And this new skin, the noosphere, was a vast thinking membrane and would one day be the living unity of a single tissue that would contain all of our thoughts, our dreams, even our experiences. It would be mind at large. It would be the weaving of the consciousness of the planet, fueled by human awareness and quickening the human evolutionary journey. And he said, it was already in place, but in my lifetime, this living membrane would grow in density and complexity and activating the human species to greater consciousness and responsiveness. And you know, it was the phosphorescence of a new order of thought, and that we were part of a cosmic evolutionary movement, but that we had to activate these human capacities to be the magic of who and what we were. And he said, "Oh, Jean, the people of your time will be taking the tiller of the world, but they cannot go directly. They have to touch every culture, every people. You do that, Jean." I said, "Okay, Mr. Teilhard." And so my whole life has been devoted to that.
So how did that manifest, Jean?
To activating human cultures, human capacities, the magic of the great transformative moment of what we are. And I invite people to come and be part of that.
Well, I think we should let them know that you actually did that, and we also should probably let them know what you're basically a consultant to countries and nations and groups.
Yes, I'm the senior consultant for the United Nations on human development. So we train leaders all over the world.
And you've also written a large number of books. I think jumped in at jump time, but
Yeah, 20 books.
20 books. And what
20 books published so far and 194 unpublished 400-page manuscripts. I write a small book every month, and by the time it's actually given, you know, in the mystery school, it's about 400 pages.
Oh, so people that go to the mystery school get in on your...
Yeah, but the mystery school is dancing and laughter and jokes and lectures.
It's just not all work. It isn't all work. You know, they work them hard at Hogwarts, and it's pretty cold and windy over there.
Well, it's going to be very nice down in Cathedral City.
Yeah, I'm so glad. I just checked on the environmental conditions.
I, of course,
am going to be there.
But we also have a social artistry program, you know, which goes from July 28th to August 4th, and that's where we are really also training a lot of leadership in profoundly making a difference.
Well, this is great, and people should go to jeanhouston.org, and you can just sign up for this, and Maureen and I will be there, and we'll say hello to you. And Jean will be back on next week, and we'll tease a little more out of her. Jean, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much, Valerie.
God bless.
God bless.
Okay. Okay, my goodness. So, Beatrice, how did you like that conversation?
Well, I happen to be a great admirer of Jean Houston. One of my doctor friends years ago had attended many of her sessions, and so I got to know of her work through him.
Would you like her telephone number? I can give it to you afterwards.
All right, that would be fine.
I would be delighted to do that. She's a wonderful lady, and I'm sure she would love to connect with you. Now, your history, as we were talking earlier, was as a concerned citizen, which dated back to the 30s. And if I have in my hands here your book, Food and Your Health, by Beatrice Trump Hunter, published by Basic Health. And if you Google her on the Internet, you can do that right now. You can go to Beatrice, that's her first name, and then Trum, Trum, and then Hunter, last name. And you can kind of check in on what this good lady has been doing. What I'd love to hear from you is, what got you going in the 1930s? What was your inquiry, and where did that evolve?
It actually started with the reading of a book which was a bestseller in the early 30s, which was called 100 Million Guinea Pigs. And that was the population of this country at the time. And it was the story of what was happening to the food supply, the medical supply, and cosmetics, and how poorly the American public was being protected from all of the dangerous items that were being put into the food, drugs, and cosmetics. Of course, the story has not changed. It's only grown more complex, and now we have over 200 million guinea pigs in this country. And what we do here also affects the rest of the world, because many other countries depend on our decisions in terms of safety of materials.
Very, very good. When you talk about, can you say more about the safety of the materials?
Well, we now have, for example, in the food supply, we have about 300 food additives, direct food additives. Many of them have never been tested adequately. And then, in addition to that, we have something like 20 to 40,000 indirect food additives that are components in the packaging of materials in contact with foods. It's a wild field. And I think people are beginning to recognize that in the pharmaceutical area, many of the pharmaceuticals that are put on the market then have to be withdrawn at a later point, even though they were put on with the assumption that they had undergone very rigorous testing, and yet many things do slip through. And the same is true in the cosmetic field. Many of the cosmetic ingredients have never been tested.
So you're saying we're being poisoned, really, aren't you?
Well, we certainly are being exposed to many hazardous materials without our knowledge. And if you add that to the other exposures that we're breathing in and that we're taking in with water, you can begin to see that the human body really has a tremendous burden of substances that are not safe.
So what kind of a plan should the average person that's listening to you go, instead of going, oh my God, I'm being poisoned, you know, like, what do we do? And do any of the other editors have a question of Beatrice here on this issue?
Well, I'll answer the second one first, and that is, many of the food editors simply depend on the material that is put out, publicity material by the food and beverage industry's interests, so that a lot of what they write is really based on very partisan material, and they don't do their homework in trying to learn the real facts. Coming back to your first question as to what can be done, I think one of the first things we need to do is to try to find food supplies locally of quality food that has been raised either organically or biodynamically, so that we're not getting all of the pesticide residue. And then I think the other thing we can do is to select whole foods rather than highly processed foods, because the whole foods have very little done to them, where the highly processed ones, of course, are the ones that depend on so many of these additives that are put into them.
Excellent. So does George or Cherie or Debbie or Maureen or Lisa have any question they would like to ask of this lady?
Val, hi, it's Gail.
Oh, hi, Gail.
I just wanted to, Beatrice, thank you for making your material so understandable to the layman, first of all. But my concern is very simply even just the amount of sugar that is in everything. And I think that, I suppose, we just have to take personal responsibility and start reading labels now for things on everything. And I support the farmers markets as much as we can. I mean, I grew up before there was such a word as organic. You know, my grandma had a garden. My mother had a garden.
Yes, so I think the supporting the local farmers and at the farmers markets where you can ask questions, the sugar problem is really one that you can solve very readily, and that is if you stick to basic foods, you're not getting the ones that have high levels of sugar in them. The sugar added is in all of the processed foods. And there are many sweeteners that are being used today that we don't even realize are being used. There are something like 23 different sweeteners available to food and beverage processors, and even if they appear on the label, we have very, or the average person has very little recognition of the fact that it is a sweetening agent. And some of the non-caloric ones are really not beneficial at all in terms of...
We've got an email here from Arnold S., and he says, I'm listening to you with amazement. Am I causing my own diabetes?
Well, I don't know what
I think I know what he means.
I don't know whether Arnold is, what his diet is like, but if he's the average person, he's consuming a tremendous amount of sugar as well as other sweeteners in his food supply.
So if other sweeteners, and including a reduction in sugar, could he have a change in his diabetic condition?
Well, very often at the early stages of diabetes, it can be controlled just through dietary changes, even without the use of insulin. Later on, of course, it's a different matter. But diet has is a very important factor in terms of controlling diabetes.
Debbie, do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Hi, Beatrice.
Hi.
This is Debbie Ringshop. My husband actually is diabetic, and recently his diet has improved, and he's gone off his insulin, so I know you can change it, which is
Often, families where there is one person who has diabetes, instead of having a special diet for that person, everybody goes on the diet, and the amazing thing is that everybody feels better because the basic diet is a good one.
Oh, that's great. George, we've got time for one last question.
I had one last question there. Was regarding water. I happen to live on a well, but, you know, where everybody buys water. Can you comment about water?
Well, the bottled water has different qualities, and in some instances, the tap water is actually of better quality than some of the bottled ones. So it depends really on the situation. If you're in an area where you know your water is not good, then you might want to resort either to getting bottled water or getting some filtration system that gives you a better quality. You have to be careful of the type of system that you use because many of them make wild claims of taking out various substances, and it's not true at all. So you have to investigate that very carefully. But water is just as much of an important substance that we take in as food.
Thank you.
So I'm wondering if people had questions that they wanted to write you, Beatrice, how would they get to you?
Well, the only way would be to either to write to me or to telephone, but I really don't encourage either because I am working full-time on writing.
So they can then hop over and buy your book, right?
That would be much better. Or they could write to me in care of my publisher.
There you go.
Basic health publication.
So the name of the book is Food and Your Health, Learn How You Can Become an Enlightened Consumer in a Bewildering Marketplace. Beatrice Trum Hunter, food editor, Consumers Research Magazine. So you should be able to go over to Amazon and just pop that out. I really appreciate the lifetime that you have committed to this work.
Thank you very much.
1933, I was doing the math on it. It's quite a few years ago.
Yes, it is.
You sound like you've got a few more left in you yet.
I hope so. I have a few more books in me yet.
So if there's something that you would like to just, you know, throw out to the radio audience to create for yourself, what would be the next project that you would like to take on?
Well, I'm taking on a project at the moment. I have one book coming out and another one in the works. The book that will be released shortly is a primer on whole foods, and it gives a very good argument, I think, in terms of why we have to get back to eating the basic foods that have nourished human beings throughout the centuries.
And you don't hear a doddering old lady here, let me tell you. But let this person tell you how old they are in Earth years.
Well, I'm going on 87.
Doesn't sound like 87 to me.
I have more energy now than when I went to college.
Oh, that's good news. Everybody that thinks they're over the hill, pay close attention to this one. And
every decade gets better.
Thank you so much for being with us today. You're precious. I appreciate it. And I think, Larry Roberts, this is for you. Thank you for having me talk with this wonderful woman.
And thank you, all of you.
And Cherie Ross, we have maybe Cherie Ross has a comment for you, actually, Beatrice, because she listens very closely. Let's put Cherie Ross on the air of Essential Years. She works with the essential oils.
Yes.
Cherie, you there? She's either on mute or out of the zone. So that's unfortunate. We'll pick her up later if we can. So, Debbie Ringchop, you're on. And Miss Retirement Rescue, this woman has committed her life to making sure that any retirement plans that you end up creating end up way better than you hoped they would.
That's great.
So, take it away.
Thank you very much, Val. I'm Debbie Ringchop. I've been a financial advisor and strategist currently with Freedom Equity Group. And my mission here is really to help create a paradigm shift in your thinking and relationship with money. I want to start off by asking you three simple questions. Do you think taxes are going up or down in the future? And do you believe Social Security is going to be there when you retire? And third, do you believe Social Security is going to be enough to meet your retirement needs?
Oh, dear.
All very interesting thoughts.
Yes. Well, of course, I've been on Social Security for quite a while, and I remember when Social Security was first instituted, and it was an amazing thing because I think it rescued many people, although some of the more conservative members of Congress thought of it as creeping socialism. Now, of course, even the conservative elements in Congress see that it has benefited people. Not that one can live on Social Security alone. But
there you go. From the horse's mouth. Excuse me, Beatrice.
Yes.
I don't believe you've been taught that so many people believe that Social Security was their do-all. And now we're starting to recognize, well, maybe it's not going to quite be there in the future.
No,
or at least
Americans are not very good in saving, as so many people elsewhere in the world, for example, in Japan, where they really do save. And it's one of the things we have to learn to do in this country in terms of planning and looking ahead.
Most definitely. Well, I know right now we're experiencing really a crisis in America, from debt management to home foreclosures and mismanaged retirement funds and, of course, Social Security. And the statistics show that right now our savings here in America has dropped down to less than 1% of our earnings. How can we live off of less than 1% of our earnings? It's not going to work. People really need to change their beliefs about money and retirement, because what we were brought up with doesn't apply now. It's changed so much.
Mm-hmm. I think as somebody who grew up during the Depression years, I am particularly strong in feeling that there is too much in terms of consumerism. People are buying things whether they need them or not, and that's one of the aspects. I think if people would buy less, they could save more, and often people do buy needlessly.
True. Conservation and not consumption is really part of our direction. We really have to move that way. When we borrow money for something, it shouldn't be to you know, to use up. It needs to be something that we're using an arbitrage approach and creating.
Would you let our listeners know, Deb, what an arbitrage is?
Arbitrage is where you borrow at a lower interest rate and you earn at a higher interest rate, and the difference is what you're making. Banks do this all the time. They take our money in, they lend it out at a higher interest rate, and they earn the difference. What I'm trying to teach people more is to start thinking like their own bank.
Mm.
So we want to change a lot of our thinking to not giving our monies away to the bank, but to actually invest for ourselves and start to do the conservation approach, and not just a spending consumption approach.
Well, when you say something like invest for ourselves,
mm-hmm.
that's an overwhelming thought for a lot of a lot of our listeners. Would they be, perhaps, I mean, one of the things I know you're expert in is insurances, right?
Correct.
Is that considered an investment?
Specific types are, and that's one thing I'm going to get to in just a second. I want to kind of throw in really the concept of what is true wealth. And true wealth is not just a financial plan to create enough income to live on or passing money from generation to generation. Really, our true wealth is balancing all of our family assets. We have human assets, wisdom, civic, and our financials. So what I'm trying to emphasize in today, too, is that to create that true wealth, you need to create a family bank where everyone in your family, both immediate and extended family members, they make deposits and withdrawals from this family bank, passing on knowledge, values, hopes, and dreams, you know, from generation to generation.
How do you do the books on wisdom?
Basically, you create diaries, you create photo albums, you create all kinds of different things. People have to start to write down their thoughts and put it into something that they can then share with everyone else in their group. Once a year, minimum, once a year, the family should be getting together and looking at and sharing what, you know, great ideas they've come up with that last year. How do you do something new? You know, what did I do to create this new investment? Or just lots and lots of different possibilities. It's all in getting back to bringing the family back together and starting to share more information, share your dreams, share the things that didn't work so that someone knows not to do those things in the future.
Right.
Let's streamline what we're doing with our lives and start to take advantage of the fact that we really need to look at the value systems behind creating our finances and not just expect someone who's created $1 million, they pass this on to their children. Year after year, those monies, when it comes to you as just a plain inheritance without the thought behind it, you tend to just use it up. It's consumed. There's fights. Families tend to have this thing about...
Oh, this is an episode of its own. We're actually out of time now, Deb.
Oh, no.
I know. It flies like that. So how can people get a hold of you?
Well, for one, they can email me at debbie@wakingupinamerica.com. And what I'd like to just share to close it off is the idea of living, learning, earning, and returning. We want to make sure you create not just your family bank, but also family foundations.
Foundation, perfect.
To help take care of society.
That's excellent. You can also call at toll-free 866-RADIO-99. Excuse me, I've got a little cough in my throat here. Toll-free 866-RADIO-99.
Thank you.
Now, I'm wondering if Cherie was able to get into the conference bridge. Are you here, Cherie? In that case, I know somebody that's very interested in what you're saying, and she has a family, and so we're all very excited about Debbie joining us. I want you to meet now Lisa Molson of Family Matters, and here is Debbie Ringchop. Have fun, you guys.
No, this is Lisa Molson, following Debbie Ringchop, and I just wanted to welcome Debbie to our team here, and I just wanted to echo some of the things that Debbie's talking about. Dr. Val and I and Debbie actually just spent a weekend together with Laurel Langmire at an alumni course that we were all enrolled in. And Laurel being the author of the new book that's going to be coming out called The Millionaire Maker, and basically she's teaching us, you know, what we're learning in her course and this work, you know, basically is going to turn what we've all learned about money and even our view of retirement and totally spin it on its head. So I'm glad to be following Debbie because she is doing what I realized, and Val and I talked about, what I wanted to create for my family, which is a perpetual trust fund of some sort for my family to leave that, you know, in my legacy. Because one of the things that I was assigned to do at that course was go back and write my obituary, and I realized that I wanted to create a legacy of a perpetual financial fund for my family, because I'm on this quest right now of, you know, I've been in the workplace making other people millionaires for all these years, spent time away from my family, it cost me all that time, with no, you know, freedom day established for myself because I didn't know how. I was basically financially illiterate, so now I've stepped out working, you know, working on making millions for myself and family. Now, what am I going to do it? Now, what am I going to do with it? So, I want to take that and launch, you know, and use it as a springboard for this perpetual family fund, and it's going to give access to each kid funding and resources for them to become financially literate through education, whatever else that they need. Give them a hand up to get them off the ground in their own business venture. The good thing about it is that you can create it and have it working before you, and that's what I like about this perpetual fund. You can enjoy the blessings of giving your family money, and instead of dying wondering what your kids are going to do with your hard-earned dollars, you actually can have a say in how it gets created, so by the time you do pass away, you've got it worked out. So I actually plan on leaving a video or a CD of some sort, because I like what you said, Deb, about creating like a family journal. I think that's a great idea. I'm thinking about a CD or something of that nature, you know, with my life lessons to map out the things that I've learned and showing the kids, you know, what to do in certain circumstances.
You know, you may even want to create a family website.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Well, I think that, you see.
I also wanted to show you that the number one cause of divorce is money. Of all the statistics that are out there, it's money. And so I wondered, you know, what would happen if people were able to handle, you know, the financial piece in their life, you know, what a wonderful possibility it would be for families. And Dr. Val and I have to announce this together with you, Val, because you and I stood in our hotel room dreaming this concept of creating a fund for your spouse.
Yes, to manage your spouse.
Be responsible with money. And the idea is that you can create a fund that is governed by an administrator, which would require the spouse to get educated so they don't keep making them, you know, getting themselves into the same financial disasters. And they can't blame you for it.
Yeah, they have to take a course, right? They have to pass the course. They have to go to the administrator. You no longer have anything about it. And you make a lot. You're just generous. You make it very generous. If they'll do the work, there's tons of money there for them.
Exactly.
I think it's great.
And at a minimum, we know that 20% of the population owns 80% of the wealth, which means that 80% of the population is pretty illiterate. So, you know, wherever you fall in that category, you know, I've made money, but not had a plan to keep it and make it grow in an effective way. And I'm a mom, grandma, soon to be here. I'm with
you. Sure are, aren't you?
Still waiting for this grandbaby to come. So, you know, on my quest to generate a lot of money, I have to create a structure and a plan to create true wealth and true financial freedom. You know, so Debbie, thanks for bringing this to light, because it's something that, you know, we walked away from that course with, and just think that, you know, for strengthening families, I mean, the journal piece is fabulous. So this is Lisa Molson signing off. Remember, if you strengthen your family, you strengthen our world. Thank you.
Right on. Lisa, I love that tagline. You're listening to Waking Up in America. You've just been listening to Debbie Ringchop, our financial expert, and Lisa Molson of Family Matters, and we've had Beatrice Trum Hunter on, that wonderful woman about nutrition, and Jean Houston and her mystery school. So today's a hot day. We invite you to actually race yourself down to the rainforest, and it's on the bottom of our website at wakingupinamerica.com. When you go over there, you'll see towards the bottom of the website, you'll see you get to choose rainforest or oceans or planetary things, and pick whichever one you like. Whatever you pick, you'll save 7 square feet to 21 square feet, depending upon which one you select. And your your pick will actually be matched by a number of various sponsors. We've saved acres and acres and acres of the rainforest doing this, and now we're working on American prairies and on the oceans. So you can actually click on that every single day and do that. It's a great thing to do. Also, our sponsor, iGive.com, if you go over there and you select Waking Up in America before you go shopping as the radio magazine, you will be doing shopping at major stores, and they will be sending a percentage of their money, the money that you spend, to Waking Up in America to help us grow. So we invite you to do that, and I'm going to check right now and see if we've got, has Cherie Ross gotten here?
Yes.
Oh, good. All right. We've been looking for you, kiddo.
I had a hard time getting on the bridge.
I so know. So she's here, and we're delighted to have her. It's Cherie Ross of the Essential Oils, and her segment is Essentially Yours. And what do you have for us today?
Well, I'm going to talk about two gifts that nature gives us that are amazing for our being, both emotionally and physically, as well as spiritually. And one gift comes from Ninja Wolfberry in support of what wonderful Beatrice was talking about regarding nutrition. And that there is something on the planet that believe it or not, our FDA, our Food and Drug Administration, calls it the most perfect food they've ever seen. It comes from Ningxia, China, which is in Upper Mongolia, and it's called the Ningxia Wolfberry. The technical term is Lycium barbarum, for those of you who like to get into the genus names of all this scientific stuff. But the bottom line is it's the Ningxia Wolfberry. Now, there are over 200 different versions of wolfberry, but only the Ningxia Wolfberry does what I'm going to talk about. And that is, it has been proven to slow down the aging process of the brain. So you can stay more alert. Your vision is much more acute. And incidentally, it has compounds in it called zeaxanthin and lutein that actually will reverse things like macular degeneration, cataracts, glaucoma, and other serious vision concerns. It also has been proven to strengthen the heart. It will completely rebuild a damaged organ. They've used it on many animals testing, and because no humans would be willing to sacrifice their organs for these tests, but let me tell you, the animals were all spared and saved. They were not tormented or tortured. But these animals actually, the lab animals, actually grew new organs, new spleens, and other new organs very rapidly and very healthfully. From a diseased organ or from an organ that had been sliced up and taken out, whether it's from an injury or what have you. So in addition to that, it gives you lots of energy, not caffeine energy where it fries your nerves, but actually energy that is stamina energy. And there's a gentleman that I work with that runs marathons, and he has taken 40 seconds off of every mile. Now that may not sound like a lot, but when you add up a marathon, 26.2 miles, and you take 40 seconds off of every mile, that is significant. That is huge in the runner's world and in the athlete's world. So if you'd like to learn more about this wonderful nutritional berry, it's actually a berry, but they call it an herb because it has so many medicinal qualities. It's the Lycium barbarum. It's known to assist the body in balancing hormones. It's phenomenal for cardiac concerns. And calcium, it is amazing for the penetratable calcium that's cellular bioavailable. And there's protein in it, by the way. There's 18 grams of protein per ounce of these berries. So it's absolutely phenomenal. And it's all, you don't need to worry about improper digestion because when it's plant-based, it's a lot more readily available to your cells. So that's one. Remember the name, Ningxia Wolfberry. How do you spell it? N-I-N-G-X-I-A. So again, N-I-N-G-X-I-A, Ningxia Wolfberry. Now, last week I promised I'd talk about a wonderful tree called the Palo Santo tree. Now, there's an interesting thing about this tree. It grows in Ecuador. It grows to be over 300 years old. And what are the gifts of the Palo Santo tree? Well, first of all, let me tell you a little bit about its characteristics. There is one male tree for every 9 female trees, okay? And they're not planted this way. This is how nature has, this is how they're found in the forest. This is not something that someone went and grew in an orchard or anything, or in a tree grove. And actually, this is how they're found in the forests. One male tree for every 9 female trees. And if you kill one of the female trees, the male tree dies.
Get out.
Yes, this is very serious. And what we've been able to study is it's their root structure. their root structure is so intertwined that if you kill one of the female trees, the male tree dies. And if you kill the male tree, all 9 female trees die. Yeah, interesting, huh? So how do we get the oil from it? Well, each tree has its own lifespan. And when the tree falls naturally, then we can take it and get the oil from it. What's interesting is the oil, these trees produce over 20% essential oils. The average plant presents anywhere from 1 to 2% essential oil. This tree presents 20% essential oil. For example, rose oil. To make 1 liter of rose oil takes 5,000 pounds of rose petals. And that's a special kind of rose petal. So to give you an idea of the yield of this tree, it's phenomenal. It's a very sacred tree. It's a very spiritual tree.
Sheree, are you on a cell phone?
No, I'm not.
There's a lot of crackling on the line.
Oh, no, I'm on a landline, actually.
Okay.
And so what is amazing about this tree is that it is powerful for the brain and the mind. And they have been doing research on autoimmune diseases, depression, brain cancers, Alzheimer's, and Parkinson's with this palisanto oil from the tree, the essential oil from the tree. And we are seeing outstanding, phenomenal results. Again, with depression, with any type of a brain cancer or other type of cancers that are caused by an endocrine system imbalance. With things like Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, or what's known as Lou Gehrig's disease, or ALS. So, if you'd like to learn more about what this palisanto can do, now, say that you don't have one of those diseases, but you just would like to know how can palisanto serve you. Well, it has to do with the midsection of the brain, and it has to do with the brain properly communicating. So what it has to do with accessing more of your brain's ability, whether it be creativity, whether it be memory, whether it be able to focus better, or whether it be able to your brain to make sure that it doesn't stress out as quickly, and that you can handle higher levels of stress without your body taking a toll on your mind as well. So if you'd like to learn more about these amazing essential oils, give me a call at toll-free 866-RADIO-99 or heavenincorporatedallspelled.com. Or my website is www.young-living.net. And there you go, Dr. Val.
Good job. I tell you, I'd love to have you actually re-record that segment. I think it's an awesome segment. And telephone lines do get us sometimes. I hope you got the gist of what she was saying. I thought it was very profound. George Rucheski, you've certainly gotten a lot. You've heard a lot on this program today. George Rucheski is in charge of our leadership adventure. He's a man that looks to find and support leadership in your life, and he's got some really valuable things today. And, George, take it away.
Thank you, Val. As I was listening to the folks today, I was realizing that we were going through, in a very focused way, helping our young adults get started in their professional careers. They both recently have moved to Houston, so they're setting up their apartments. They're buying their stuff. They are establishing themselves. And we realize that part of our role as parents are to be leaders for them, to help them take action steps that will help them in all aspects of their lives. And as I was listening, that issue between wants and needs, we realize, come up very frequently. And let me just give you a quick example of wants versus needs. I have a want. I'd like a Lexus. What is my need? My need is reliable transportation. I want a lake house. I need a roof over my head. I want to go have fine dining every night. What I need is food to sustain my energy. And as we talked to John and Kate, they were both trying to replicate in their apartments the things that they had become accustomed to when they lived at home. And we said, but what is your need? And how can you get that need met in the most cost-effective way? And they've become very creative in finding rummage sales, garage sales, things that they can buy that serve the need without having to buy it brand new, top of the line, best available now that they can afford it because they're both getting salaries. And it's that emphasis on when you are receiving a salary, that's not the money that you live off of. You have to invest some of it. You need to save some of it for emergencies. And you need to use the balance of it to get your needs met. Over time, you will build up your savings and investments so that you then have wealth from equity, where your money has been working for you. And it is out of those funds that you start to get wants met, because now you can afford to do so, not from salary, but from the benefits of your investment, the appreciation of equity, the increase in your savings. So wants come out of the future earnings, not salary, but future earnings of having your dollars work for you, and your needs get met out of your current income. And that distinction between wants and needs is something that each of us can do. You can sit down right now and list out your wants and your needs and keep looking at the needs from a standpoint. How can I make my money go further so that I can free up money to invest? And that's really what businesses do. Any organization needs to do is to look at the money that's coming in, whether it's coming in through donations from members in nonprofit organizations or from customers in for-profit organizations or from taxpayers in the government. How do we make sure that we get the most current bang for our buck and utilize our money to invest to create new revenue sources and opportunities? That's how we get health in an organization. It's also how we get health in a family. And that is continually expanding our source of income and revenue and utilizing our money to meet our needs out of current dollars, not our wants. And that's an example of how leadership fits into your life. Because you see, when you influence others, when you take an action that demonstrates that you're willing to do the things that you're asking others to do, that's how leaders attract followers and how everyone benefits, because we're now doing right thinking, right action, right results. This segment has been brought to you by TrueLeaderCoach.com, and we welcome you to give us a call at 877-321-4852 for your free consultation on making progress in finding the leadership fit for you.
Ooh, Val, I like that leadership fit, George. That's good. Because the truth is, to have a life, you have to lead yourself. There's one person you're going to have to lead, and it's you. What an amazing combination of human beings on the show today. This is Dr. Val Kirkgaard. I have the privilege of being with you here on Waking Up in America. You were just listening to George Rucheski. I'm still really, George, you know, I love Jean Houston's language so much. I just wish I could have a brain transplant. Her perspective and her point of view.
And Val, language is so powerful, because how we think and what we say does affect everything in ourselves and in the people around us.
Well, you know what I noticed about her? Her language had the distinctions of it that actually made me want to be motivated. There's something about the fact that I haven't heard somebody use the terms that she uses, that as soon as she spoke certain terms, it was like I got a clear picture of it, that her language actually imparts pictures and action for me. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for her, and I'm just so pleased to be going to her mystery school preview in November. And Diva, you're going to be joining me, right? Are you there, Maureen? I hope Alex is fine.
Hey, Val, I would love to be a fly on the wall when Jean Houston is doing leadership training for country leaders around the world.
Why don't you ask her? You want
that to be that would be a wonderful, wonderful viewing point into how do we really help folks who have been assigned or appointed or elected to leadership roles really embrace a leadership approach that will empower and bring out the best in everyone for the good of all.
Well, I suspect you would have to be a really good leader yourself, George. You know?
And we have
what world leader is going to pay attention to us unless we're being really good leaders ourselves? You know, when you were talking about with your kids.
Well,
so
as
we create really
phrase,
good leaders, pardon?
What's that old phrase that, that parents, every single parent uses with their kids? Do what I say, not what I do.
And do what I do.
Well, you know, leaders have to do what they do and then share the whys with others. Because when you understand the why, you can connect with it and you can take responsibility for your own actions.
Now, that's really good stuff. One of the things we were talking about last week were different things that we do for ourselves to actually train ourselves. So what George is pointing to is change that phrase, you know, do what I say and also do what I do, because what I say and what I do matches, because I live each moment to the highest thought that I can find. And when you surround yourself with the quality people that we have here on Waking Up in America that come to visit, it gives me a new mark each time. Today my mark was struck by Jean Houston's language and her beautiful, beautiful use of language and concept. And also, I was really impressed with the fact that she was 14 years old and getting her life lesson. She's also a person that's hung out with Margaret Mead and also somebody that has met Einstein as a child. So her particular public school in New York, I remember asking her this question years ago, put her in the presence of great human beings and great thoughts. And you are in that presence, too, as you listen to Waking Up in America. And I invite you, you can at any time write Val at wakingupinamerica.com, and I'll relay your question to one of the editors. So take advantage of that, because it's a good thing to do. We have it available to you at all times, and then you get your chance to hear an answer worded for you, perhaps in a way you might never have imagined. Is our diva here? Our diva, Maureen O'Crean, has been having an emergency with her son today, and she will be back on the air. And I was hoping she'd make it back by now. It's almost impossible for me to bring to Waking Up in America what Maureen O'Crean does, because Maureen O'Crean is our team diva. And the diva knows how to, her language is as good as Jean Houston's, by the way, when you talk to her. And you'll find out that the diva has been up to some kind of magic. So let's see if I can, let me get in touch with a little diva magic here. I can feel the diva. She's actually putting together gift baskets. She does that for her divas. So she sends out gift baskets when you sign up. And she'd also invite you to come over to our website, and she'd invite you to sign up for our club. And we've created a club for people to go, oh, I want that. I want a CD on Jean Houston, or I want a CD on Miss Beatrice Trumhunter, or I'd like a CD on Wayne Dyer. We're making it easy for you. We will actually deliver to your mailbox every single week of the year an MP3 file that's the latest program. And we'll give you things that will put you ahead of the pack and in touch with various conversation and finances and family and things of that nature. And we're getting the editors are going to start writing little articles for you. So it's a great thing to be doing, and we hope you join us. And you just simply go to our website at wakingupinamerica.com. Now, we're on the air today. We've been on the air with Ms. Margaret Mead of the Mystery School. We've been on the air with Beatrice Trumhunter, and we have our new editor, Debbie Ringchop, here. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to check in with you. Lisa, are you still on? Debbie, do I have you?
Yes, I'm here.
So, Debbie, how was your first time on the radio?
It was fun.
Yeah?
I enjoyed it.
And what stands out for you? Because this is a very different ground to be standing in.
Standing and sitting both. Well, the group, there's so much great energy that we have here and so many things that we need to get across to so many people. I just love it. So, you know, there's just so many good ideas. And the fact that they all interweave with each other is even better, because we do need to work together, teaming, leadership. All of this is, you know, bringing back the family values. It's all combined to make a better place in the world.
Yeah, and if you notice, we're all saying similar things, but we're saying it differently. I have to tell you, Debbie, when Lisa and I realized, see, so much of family wealth, and I'm sure you may be part of this too, George, but so much of family wealth, if you have a concept of passing your wealth on to your children, you hope they won't use it up.
Right.
That's pretty much, I would say, a pretty much common statement if you haven't done any work on it. When I came back from the seminar and told my son that we would be creating classes for him so that he could learn how to expand the family wealth, and that as he completed classes, he would have he would have access to income for having done that from the trust, and also the opportunity to invest it and to enlarge it. He got excited.
That's great. There's a book I'd love to recommend. It's called The Ultimate Gift by Jim Stovall, and it's a billionaire. Before he died, he put together a video, and he created this video for his great-grandnephew, I think it was. And what he did is he created a one-year program, and month to month, he had to go through a different lesson, learning the different values of everything from hard work to appreciation of money and the love of giving, just lots of different parts of where that wealth came from and why you need to nurture it. And that book, it's a real small little book. It's perfect to give away. And it's called The Ultimate Gift. And the lessons in there, just, I cried so much just reading through it. It was fabulous.
Should they go to Amazon for that?
You can get it through Amazon. It's if you just look up Jim Stovall, S-T-O-V-A-L-L, or The Ultimate Gift.
Oops, here we go. It's that time. Hey, we really want to thank you for listening today. It's been wonderful. As I said, it's always creative here on Waking Up in America. And we love you all, and we thank you for listening. This program has been produced by our editors on air now, our radio partners, ConingCompany.com, Dr. James Murphy and Memoriam, our executive producer, Nathan Jett, our associate producer, and thanks to today's guests, June Houston and Beatrice Trumhunter, God bless you, and welcome to our newest editor, Debbie Ringchop, Rock Out Debbie, our Chief Technical Officer, Pete Laubach, and to the team at Voice America, and to Bent Migan for Almost Ordinary People. And next week, a friend, bring with you, have them listen, and know that we can always do better. Why not? You know, look at something and see what you could add to it so it's even richer the next time. And sometimes better isn't just like good better. It's like more beautiful better or more generous better or whatever. It's not a bad word.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time on VoiceAmerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at HeavenIncorporated.com.